I know, I tried to pull it off as if nothing happened.
Mark,
Yeah.
you gotta keep that on. Don't edit
No,
that
no,
out.
no. Edit that part out.
Hello and welcome, Blue Jay fans, to episode 44 of Section 138, a weekly Blue Jays podcast. Of course, I am Bryson from Everything Blue Jays, and I'm also joined by Jacob from Blue Jays Nation, who will be returning to the podcast for the first time in a few weeks. Unfortunately, we weren't able to record with Mark from 360 Blue Jays News this week. He's under the weather. We hope to have him back next week. So, on the other hand, how are you doing today, Jacob?
I am great. How are you?
Good. Welcome back to the podcast. So, it's been a long time since we both recorded at the same time. Unfortunately, schedule conflicts. But the last time Mark and I recorded was this past Monday, and we're doing two episodes in one week to try and get back to our usual routine we try to do every Friday. So without further ado, we'll begin today's podcast with pretty much the last three games that we saw in Anaheim. I wanted to get your thoughts on the Blue Jays' recent struggles, and it was kind of a quick turn of the tables for them after they previously swept Oakland last weekend, and it was the beginning of a six-game road trip, and the first three games again in Anaheim did not go well. The Jays were 500 at the beginning of the season. They are now three games below 500. And pretty much the biggest story as well after last night's game, we saw Aaron Sanchez call out the team about the three-game sweep in Anaheim. He also started last night's game, and the start didn't go as well for him. He pitched four innings. He allowed four earned runs. And yeah, so he didn't last too long, and after the game, he pretty much called out the rest of the team. I'll say a quote that he said. He said, "It was bleeping brutal. I think we all know what that means, to be honest. I mean, we played so well. We go out there and sweep Oakland, who's a pretty good team, and then we come out here and get embarrassed. It's not fun when you go out there and guys just weren't ready to play. I felt like it is what it is. On to the next series. Can't wait here and dwell. Can't sit here and dwell on it. Sorry, it won't do us any good." And then to conclude his interview, he pretty much said, "I wish I could have gotten some help out there. The outcome could have been a bit different." So in other words, what we witnessed through the past three games, it was a pretty different Blue Jays team than what we saw again the weekend in Oakland. It was very sloppy baseball throughout the first three games. The offense was kind of there, not really though, towards the end of the series. The pitching was not that good either, but the defense was pretty concerning to watch last night, especially a few errors in the outfield, and again throughout the series there's been multiple errors. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on the quick turnaround the Jays had, or the complete nosedive they had from their momentum last weekend and against Oakland. I wanted to get your thoughts. Are you overly concerned of what you saw the past three games, and what are your thoughts as well on Sanchez's comments calling out the team like this?
First on Sanchez's comments, I thought it was really interesting. A lot of people on social media were pretty angry at him for that, saying how, you know, maybe if you didn't allow four runs in four innings, we would have won. People have the right to think that. I think he personally was correct to say that. You know, this is a guy that he's been on the team since 2014, I believe. He's been there for a while. And, you know, he's kind of earned the right to call teams out or players out, even maybe if he doesn't necessarily have his best game. But yeah, I think what he said is honestly what everyone's thinking. You know, the team, they went from the games against Oakland in Toronto. They won 4-2 the first game, 7-1 the second game, and then 5-4 the third game. You know, so they're scoring runs. And even in the series prior, they were scoring, you know, except they were scoring 10, 4, 6 runs a game for the most part, you know, and then they just go to scoring three runs in two of the games, and then two runs in the last game against the Angels. And honestly, I think the best way to put this is what we were kind of expecting to happen. We knew that this season wasn't necessarily going to be good for the Blue Jays. It was a pleasant surprise to see them go back to 500, especially once Guerrero got called up. However, I think this is still a team that, you know, maybe they look decent right now. I think they still have a lot of maturing as such a young team, and they just have a lot to learn on how to ride momentum and, you know, things like that and continue success. And I think this this is just a little bit of kind of what we really expected to happen. You know, the Blue Jays were going to be, I think, in my opinion, a pretty bad team this year, although they haven't really been terrible, but I mean, they've just been a little inconsistent. And I think that's just kind of pretty accurate of what we all expected. And I'm not overly concerned, kind of just because I don't expect the team to contend. If this was 2016 or 17 or 15 rather, I'd be a little concerned thinking, okay, well, you know, they got to pick this up or else they're not going to make the playoffs. However, with this team, I think the only concern is that they want to gain experience for future teams, 2020 and beyond. So overall, I'm not really concerned, just because, you know, it's kind of a rebuilding season, and you know, this is kind of what we expect. You gotta have some bad games to understand how what to do to get out of those. And overall, yeah, not necessarily concerned. Although I'd like to see wins, but just, you know, it is what it is. They've got to grow and become a better team. And honestly, the only way to get good is to lose and know, you know, how to dig yourselves out of those holes.
Yeah, everything you pretty much said. Again, it's pretty much been what everyone's thought. You know, the competitiveness on the team, so and so, how we kind of expected the season not to go as well. And I think the problem too with what we saw the past three games after what we saw, you know, I guess you can say throughout the first month of the season, it's obviously not a good start to the month of May. But you know, it's just, I guess it's the momentum we saw the team pick up during the past few weeks that makes it even more of a letdown. It's twice they swept Oakland, so they swept the season series, and closer to around middle of April, they started to heat up. And again, like you said, it was a bit surprising to see them go to 500, but they were playing pretty good baseball throughout the past few weeks. And you know, going back to Sanchez too, maybe Thursday night when he started, when he was calling out his team, I guess some notable miscues that could have probably, or he was referring to, was probably, you know, some, we saw some mistakes from Alan Hansen last night, a couple of misplays. He also overran a base hit in the fourth inning, which is obviously a huge mental mistake. So again, a few stupid mistakes from the Jays offense and defense at the time. Like I said, it was a very sloppy series. And you mentioned how the lack of runs as well they scored throughout the series. They were actually outscored 16-8 by the end of the series. And going back to Sanchez a little bit more, the thing I remember, or the thing I take note of as well from his comments, or him coming out to call out the team, I guess it's, you have no problem with it, but maybe to the extent, I know emotions are high heat at the moment, but I don't really like how he called the team out like that explicitly in front of pretty much everybody. I guess I just think it could be more handled in-house, but I'm all for someone calling out the team. I just think it was a little too harsh, but you can understand the emotions that go through his mind. And the other thing to take note of is this is two straight years now Sanchez has returned home in Anaheim, where both of his last two starts haven't gone well. We know last year he had a good start to the season, but we remember the whole problem when he landed in Anaheim, how he got his finger stuck in the suitcase, and he pretty much messed up his whole finger and his fingernail, and he still wanted to start in front of friends and family, but he ended up getting rocked that outing, and he spent pretty much the rest of the season on the injured list before returning for a few starts in September. And fast forward to a year later now, Sanchez is, you know, hopefully healthy. He went through a fingernail scare. Thank God he's back. He didn't miss any time. But it was kind of another game where, you know, I guess his pitching line wasn't too impressive to see. So maybe the emotions, again, that were going through his head, maybe a lot of it as well came from the, you know, the fact that he had a lot of friends and family in attendance with him in Anaheim. So I guess that's definitely a huge impact, or a huge possibility of, you know, the emotion that's going through him. And I guess you like the emotion, and then again, it comes a few days after the reports that the Jays are willing to trade, or they're looking to trade Stroman, Sanchez, or Smoke, which we will get into later in the podcast. So I think a lot of things are going through his head recently, or, you know, even during the past 3 days. Like I said, two straight years now he's gone back to Anaheim, and he hasn't pitched well in front of friends and family. And, you know, last night was the breaking point for him, but it just, again, it's just different to see, just because as much as the Jays haven't, they've had, I guess they had a 500 month of April almost, or close to 500 month of April. They weren't, you know, overall, they weren't as bad as they were the past three games. I think the past three games, probably the worst three games they played all season. So you can understand the emotion, but, you know, over the facts that I just said of, you know, the family thing, two straight years back in Anaheim where it hasn't gotten well, do you think that had maybe had an impact on his comments? Or do you think it was just, well, I mean, yeah, exactly. Do you think it had a huge impact with his frustration calling out the team?
It was interesting because I had actually hadn't really looked into it from that angle. I think it could, you know, whenever a player goes back to their hometown, obviously they want to impress their family. So it could, although I'm not sure. I think it probably was one of the factors leading up to his comments, but I think another one could just be, you know, this Sanchez is a guy that he's gone through so many injury issues the last couple of years, and, you know, he's seen what the Blue Jays can be when they were making the playoffs, and now he's seen where they are right now and how the entire season was about getting Vlad Guerrero up, and now he is up, and then they go and they were great against Oakland, and then they're bad now, and he's kind of, I don't know, I guess he's upset about that, and now he's just kind of expressing his emotions in a strange way. I think it's more about the fact that he's mad that the team, you know, they got their star player up, and now they all of a sudden are playing terribly. I think he's more angry about that than the family thing, but I think that also could play into it, because the last thing you want is, you know, to go home, play against your family, and let alone start against your family, and then, you know, get rocked. You know, team's bad. He only pitched four innings, allowed four runs, you know. So I think, yeah, it could have been, but I think it was just a combination of multiple things building up and just boiling inside of Sanchez before he finally, I don't want to say exploded, because it's not like he, but yeah, I guess exploded it in front of the media last night.
Yeah, another interesting fact to point out is he actually told the media that after the game, he rewatched the game, and he thought he pitched a pretty good game, and again, he was looking for some more help, which was another interesting comment. But we will move on to our next topic, and this next topic has a lot, definitely a lot of opinion, a lot of divided opinion as well that I've experienced on my account. I'm sure Mark's experienced the same thing. Multiple, you know, hundreds of comments after the report that the Jays are looking to trade, you know, Marcus Stroman, Aaron Sanchez, and Justin Smoke, preferably all three, by the trade deadline. Doesn't mean it has to be at the deadline. Things can transpire before that. Who knows when? But the deadline should be the latest of their plans to trade or look to trade all three of them. And again, the report doesn't come to a surprise. This has kind of been circulating since, what, even maybe even last year it kind of started, especially with Stroman. We know the rumors throughout the winter. We've spoken about them. The trade rumors with Stroman. Sanchez, on the other hand, he has some value, but I guess it's a lot of teams are scared of the fingernail issue. And, you know, even we saw a scare again a few weeks ago, but thank God that didn't, you know, thank God he didn't miss any time. I think teams are kind of on hold with him right now. I think if the Jays look to trade him, that would be closer to the deadline rather than, you know, a possible trade with Stroman or Smoke, you know, maybe a month before the trade deadline, who knows. And again, Smoke really comes to no surprise on an expiring contract. Could be a solid rental at first base and at the plate for a playoff team come the trade deadline. And a lot of feedback or a lot of comments regarding the three like the trades that could happen. A lot of fans seem upset about this, and I know from a fact that Stroman, Sanchez, and Smoker, you know, they're kind of at this point, other than Vladdy, they're kind of like the only, you know, most popular players that the Jays have right now. You know, we know all the trades they've made since. We know, you know, like famous names like Kevin Pillar are gone, Russell Martin are gone, even Tulowitzki were gone who were popular faces for the past 3 years. And when it comes to trading all three of them or looking to trade all three of them, the Smoke thing I understand. The Stroman thing I would definitely look into. Especially with Stroman, just because he's gotten off to a good start, and the way he's pitching right now, the Jays can possibly get a solid return in exchange for him. Sanchez, again, I think teams are on hold with him right now. Maybe if he starts to, you know, pitch even better, maybe the Jays look to trade him too. So the point is pretty much with these two is the better they pitch, you want them to pitch well, just because the Jays have said it very clear that no matter pretty much how the season goes, they will be selling or they will be continuing to develop the farm system. And I guess Stroman and Sanchez, you know, those are kind of the two faces of the rotation right now who could be possibly on the move. And I think, you know, I think throughout the winter when the rumors started to pick up with Stroman, I think a lot of fans kind of wanted it to happen, you know. But it just seems like over the past 3 weeks that a lot of fans are upset about this. But I think people need to understand, again, what a rebuild is. And I really think that possibly trading Stroman as well could, you know, you could possibly get a good pieces for him. And even Justin Smoke, you know, you'll get a mid-level prospect for him at the most, or maybe kind of like a similar return to what they got for Jay Happ last year. You know, kind of a 30-year-old veteran who's, again, going to be a rental on an expiring contract. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on if trading all three of them is a good idea, and maybe if the Jays were to, you know, trade some of them, would you prefer they keep somebody rather than, like, if it came towards Stroman or Sanchez? I know Smoke kind of doesn't matter in this case because he's on an expiring contract, but would you like to see all, you know, Stroman and Sanchez moved, or would you like to see them at least keep one?
I think, just to start with that, I think they got to keep at least one of them, because you mentioned a rebuild, and the whole point of a rebuild is to build your farm system up and with good players who will then turn into good major league players, as well as keeping your good young players on your team. Now, Sanchez and Stroman is 28, I believe, and Sanchez is 26. So, I mean, they're not, like, ridiculously young, but they're young enough, in my opinion, that should the team, you know, should they keep them past this season, I think they would add value to the team when they eventually become good. You know, so keep at least one of them. I mean, if I had to choose, honestly, I would pick Stroman. I know he's been pretty inconsistent throughout his career. You know, we've seen 2014, he was great. 2015, for his limited season, and then the playoffs, he was great. 2016, he was pretty bad, but then in the playoffs, he made up for it. 2017, he was amazing. Last season, he was terrible. This season, he's been good. You know, he's been inconsistent, but he's been healthy for the most part. You know, he's made, you know, he stayed in the rotation. Where with Sanchez, you know, it's kind of either all or nothing, where he's hurt or he's doing well for the most part. And I think that is definitely more of a risk, or more, how do I do it? I think I'd feel less confident in knowing that we had a guy that was either not going to pitch or pitch really well, compared to having a guy that, you know, the more you work with Stroman, the better he's going to pitch, I think. And, you know, obviously he's not immune to injuries, but I think he's shown that he can stay healthier. And then as for Smoke, honestly, I mean, it is the last year of his contract, but I don't know. I think it would be, I'm open to seeing him get traded, but if the Blue Jays could not get I don't want to say significant return, but if they couldn't get a return that they thought was reasonable for Justin Smoke, then don't trade him. You know, if a team gives them an offer that is good, trade him. But honestly, I don't see the problem with also just letting him finish the last season of his contract in Toronto, and then who knows, maybe they sign him for another year or so. I'm open to that. Although I think the problem with that is he wouldn't play as much, considering now they have Rowdy Tellez taking over at first base, and now we've seen Charlie Montoyo say Guerrero is going to spend the majority of his time at third base, but he's also going to DH at times. So, you know, those are games that Smoke wouldn't get into if he's not DHing or taking over at first base. But yeah, I mean, I'm open to seeing him traded, but I mean, if it's not an offer that you can immediately say, or I don't know, if it's not an offer that's like I said, you feel is viable, then just leave it. Let him finish out his last season here.
Yeah, I think you have a point. I also think, you know, I want to say if the offer is right and if the Jays really, really enjoy this offer, because I've been a fan of their recent trades, you know, developing and trading for youth pieces. They seem to have gotten decent pieces overall. And I think if the, you know, the offer is right for both of them, I think, you know, I think you got to pull the trigger. But again, if one offer is better for the other and the Jays want to go that route, I think they can. I think they could keep one of the two and, you know, possibly extend one of them. But, you know, the thing that is ticking with the Jays is, you know, like you said, Stroman's 28. He's almost 30 years old. Sanchez is 26. So he's got 2 years. He's 2 years younger than Stroman. But, you know, the Jays, the whole point is to get younger. And as much as age isn't an issue with Stroman, you know, he's getting closer to his 30s. And it depends on how young the Jays want to get. I think that also has a big impact on, you know, what their plan is and when they want to be competitive again. And I also think, you know, the whole point of this as well for trading veterans like Smoke, who I think is almost a lock to get traded, is to, you know, open up playing time for the youth. And you said how this opens up playing time for Rowdy Tellez, which is obviously what they want to do and, you know, what seems to be the right thing to do as well. He's kind of, you know, Rowdy, he had a lot of playing time last September. This year he's had a decent amount of playing time. He hasn't gone off to the best start. You know, he hasn't really consistently stayed in the lineup for multiple games, or maybe it's just the idea of or philosophy that Charlie Montoyo follows by changing the lineup every so often, not really sticking to the same guys every time. And I think as well, it actually has an impact too with Vladimir Guerrero Jr., as you said. You know, who knows if the Jays want to possibly move him to first base one day. I think, you know, getting rid of Smoke kind of opens up the idea of it, just because we all know the whole body weight issues or the shape Guerrero's in. Possibly the Jays could look to a possible move to first base, but, or hopefully, you know, or maybe we're a few years away from that. But I just think the whole idea, again, to keep developing for the youth, and we saw this with the Russell Martin trade opening the way for Danny Jansen. We saw this even with the Morales trade, you know, the amount of flexibility they have in the lineup now. And the other thing I wanted to ask you was, and I mentioned it on my post for the report that came out, I think the Jays need to trade them by the deadline if they're going to do it, or if they're going to trade at least one of them. I should say two of them, including Smoke, or at least one of Sanchez or Stroman. I referred to the Josh Donaldson issue they had in 2017, when we heard about the rumors at the deadline with, I think it was the Cardinals, or, you know, the Jays were pretty close to a deal. They were offered a pretty good return for Donaldson. And then, of course, the injury problems that happened last year, and the Jays ended up moving him, what, at the waiver trade deadline. They got, you know, a C-level prospect for him. And I think, you know, the Jays made a mistake at that point. I think they wanted to continue. They were kind of in the idea in 2017 of continuing to compete, even with the old roster they had, and even by the deadline they were way out of it. It was the season where they couldn't get to 500 all year, and it was, again, it was the beginning of their nosedive from the 2015 and 2016 playoff runs. So I think you know, learning from the Donaldson mistake has a huge impact on this. I think if the Jays wait until the offseason to possibly trade Stroman or Sanchez, they're making a mistake. Stroman, again, you've mentioned how he's gotten off to a terrific year. Sanchez as well. You know, he's just trying to avoid the fingernail issues, and he got close to it this year, but he seems to be off to a fine start. He's got an ERA just above 3, and Stroman's got an ERA just above 2. They both had shaky starts in the Anaheim series, so if it wasn't for that, their ERAs would be much lower. So my question to you is, do you think, you know, the Donaldson, do you think the Jays front office will learn from the Donaldson mistake by you know, possibly trading them earlier? Like I said, if they're really committed to doing this, they do it at the deadline. They don't wait until the offseason, because who knows what can happen. You know, you said Stroman or Sanchez. I think you said Sanchez was inconsistent. You know, I agree to disagree with you, just because I think both of them are inconsistent. We know the injury pasts for both of them. Again, Stroman had a down year last year, but he also had multiple injuries. He had the hot spot on his finger. He started the season on the DL at the time, with shoulder inflammation. Again, we know Sanchez the past 2 years, the fingernail problems that's never gotten old. So I think, especially with their history, I know teams are being cautious, especially with Sanchez, but I think if the time is right, they need to do it at the deadline. at the latest, and I just wanted to get your thoughts on if you agree, if the Jays, you know, should move him before the offseason to kind of learn from the Donaldson mistake, because they kind of had the same similar problem, except at the time they were, you know, fully committed to competing, while this time around they're fully committed to rebuilding or developing the youth, as they like to say, towards the future. So I just want to get your thoughts on, you think if it's a must to trade them at the deadline, or even if you, maybe if you disagree with me and you think this could go out until or push into the offseason.
Yeah, I think in hindsight you can't really blame the Blue Jays with what the Donaldson thing is, or the situation with that. However, yes, I do think they can learn from that. Now, like you said, if they're really committed to this rebuild, trade anybody that is not going to help your team right now, but will allow you to acquire the pieces to help you in the future. And yeah, I think waiting or waiting past the deadline going into the off season is the wrong move, because you know, no team, you know, once the season's over, no team is fighting for a playoff spot, you know, so they're maybe not going to be as desperate, if you will, to acquire a player like Smoke or Sanchez or Stroman, or you know, anybody that they think could help them. However, right before like the real playoff push starts, you know, after the trade deadline, is when all those teams that are, you know, like the 2015 Blue Jays, they were not good enough to make the playoffs with their current roster, and then they went out and made like four or five trades in the span of a week, and then they were really good. I think that could happen this year, where, you know, some teams go out and acquire, you know, a Stroman or a Sanchez or a Smoke, and then they give up a little more for them than what they would in the off season, because, you know, at that point they're fighting for a playoff spot and they want that extra piece to help them. And you mentioned about injuries, things like that. I think that also could play a factor into it, because again, if you know, say, I hope this doesn't happen, but say Sanchez doesn't get traded at the deadline, and then he has a horrible second half of the season with injuries and all those types of things, you know, that basically eliminates the possibility for a trade in the off season. However, if he were to get traded before the before the trade deadline, and then he has, say, that terrible second half, again, I hope that doesn't happen, but say that does happen, you know, then the Blue Jays have already got their return, so, or they've already got out of Sanchez, or they've got the max for what they could have gotten out of Sanchez, and I think that would, you know, that's the whole goal of it. I think they would consider that a success, even though Sanchez then had a terrible second half to the season, and that goes for any of those players. I think, you know, if you're committed to trading one of them, two of them, or all of them, do it before the deadline. Don't wait until the off season, because like I said, no team is desperate for a playoff spot in November or January or whatever it is, you know, in the middle of the season when you want to, again, make that push for the playoffs. That's when I think teams are more likely to give up a little more. And that, I think, is the definitely the time to go and trade them.
Yeah, I agree with you. Again, this is, you know, this is obviously our opinions on when they should do the trade. You know, I think it's pretty much a lock for at least two of them to go, including Smoke and one of Sanchez or Stroman. I think it's a very good chance both of them are traded. But if I had to pick at the end of the day, 100% in my opinion that at least two of them will be gone. And unfortunately for Jays fans, I know, you know, you guys all love Stroman and you guys all love Sanchez. You know, they're kind of fan favorites around here and kind of one of the only notables left on this team. But a business is a business. And unfortunately, you know, unfortunately part of the journey is the end. You have to move on.
Don't say that.
And
oh my God.
I had to throw in an Endgame reference.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the movie, just skip 10 seconds ahead. Anyways, I think it's going to happen. And I know fans, again, I know they're upset about it, but you know, it's going to happen. Probably they got to continue to develop the way for the youth. And Stroman and Sanchez, again, they only have a few years of control left. They're both coming close to unrestricted free agency. I know maybe they're a few years away still, but definitely not as much control as they used to have on them. But again, well, I guess we have to wait until all this plays out. Maybe more stuff comes out throughout the season, close to the deadline, where we can kind of elaborate on our opinions or go back to our opinions. And again, maybe, again, going back to the Sanchez, you know, calling out the team, maybe this also had an impact. you know, again, his head was probably spinning through the from the past 3 days. A rough series in Anaheim, you know, a rough series for the pitching, a rough start for him, a rough series for the defense, and it goes on. And I wanted to get into our last topic quickly, moving into our last topic. This will be interesting from you. I really am curious on what you want to see in the month of May. Now, finally, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is called up. We don't have to address that anymore. He's up with the team. We don't have to say the Jays need to bring him up now. That's over and done with. I want to know, Jacob, what do you want to see out of this team in the month of May? Do you expect them to kind of get back to 500, or do you kind of expect this is the month where they fall off?
Interesting that you said that. I think, I don't know. I think May might be that month that they kind of do what they have done for like the second half of April, where it's like some up, some down. They're like around 500. However, what I do want to see is the Blue Jays either commit to a full rebuild or trading away their last few pieces, or at least planning to do that, you know, admitting that this is their plan, or, you know, not doing that, and then they just kind of leave what they have on the roster. Now, obviously, no decision has to be made about trades, but I think just me personally, I think it would be better if everybody knew going into the last like month or two before the trade deadline that the team was openly going to trade them, because then I think you know that would, I think that's the one thing that like the fan base has been lacking, is a little bit of answers. Now we know that they're rebuilding now, but I still think keeping some of their older players, like they traded Pilar, but now they have, like we've talked previously, Smoke, Sanchez, Stroman, like those types of players. I think keeping them on the team, or at least some of them, might be preventing a full rebuild, and I would like them to kind of decide their place, say, okay, we're rebuilding, everybody calm down, it's okay if we lose, because this is all for the future, we're planning for the future. And overall, I think that's really it. At this point, the team, you know, they really can't do much, except for actually now, as I think, I would like them to work with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. As of right now, he didn't play last night in Anaheim, but he is hitting, where'd it go, 167 right now in his five games. Now, I'm not necessarily worried about that, but I think if he continues like that, you know, after his adjustment period, then we'll have something to worry about. And I want to see the Blue Jays really, really work with him to, his defense has been great, honestly, but I want to see his offense really kick it up a notch, or at least get back to, even honestly, if he gets to 250 by the end of the month, or like a little above that, I'd consider that a success, because again, this is the number one prospect in the league. He's getting every single pitcher's best pitches, so it's going to take him a little longer to adjust, but you know, I want to see the Blue Jays do two things, like I said. Figure out their spot in, or where they stand with this whole sell, rebuild, whatever it is you want to call it, and then work with Guerrero to get him to the level that, you know, they think that he can get to, and then which I think will then lead to like a great summer filled with him just again getting more major league experience, giving him the opportunity to really solidify himself as you know an elite, not just an elite prospect, but an elite player.
Yeah, you know, with Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Mark and I spoke about it on Monday about, you know, the hype around him, the amount of pressure he also has, the amount of hype he's gotten, the amount of social media attention there's been. The MLB posting about the Jays for multiple straight days, which again is one, you know, once in a lifetime to see that from them. So all the attention again from Toronto, I think it's really spectacular how we saw from Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Again, like you said, he has the potential to be one of the greatest players of all time, one of the greatest Blue Jays of all time. And again, this is far, far from that possibly happening, but this is, of course, the hype around him and everyone. And I'm not the only one that I'm sure you guys have heard that from. And with Guerrero, again, quickly, you know, he's only got 3 hits this year. He does have an error, but other than that, his defense has been good. We've seen that he's got a pretty strong arm. He has walked a few times, and I think it's only a matter of time before he really starts to pick it up. I think there's still the adjustment period of him adjusting to MLB pitching. You know, I've noticed too, MLB pitchers haven't really been going into the strike zone with Guerrero a lot. They've been kind of really sneaking things inside on him or even outside. So I think eventually when he figures it out, I think when he gets hot, I think he's really going to burst out. I think it's going to be one of those breakouts for him. And again, like you said, with the Jays, obviously we want to know more about going into the deadline so we have more to talk about. But with the front office, we know how, you know, pretty private they've been with everything, especially with Shapiro and Atkins. But the expectation is there will be trades closer to the deadline, but, you know, hope maybe some of that starts in June. Maybe we still are a little too early for that. But again, time will tell. And I think, you know, overall as well, April was a pretty decent month or solid month for the Jays. They finished, what, one game below 500? I think the Anaheim game was part of the last game of March, April. Yeah, so again, the first game of the series in Anaheim was the last game of April, so they finished, what, one game below 500, but a pretty solid month for the Jays. Maybe a little more to look forward to. Hopefully the bullpen starts to get healthier. Maybe we see prospects come in through, or more prospects come in throughout the year, like Biggio or even Bichette, but we could still be too early for that, as we are only in May now, a couple months away from the trade deadline. And again, for those, there are some who do not like Marcus Stroman. They don't like the antics, they don't like the HGMH, the whole thing. For those few haters out there, remember, you need him to pitch well. You need to put that aside. If you want this team to continue to develop the youth in a good way, you need him and Sanchez to pitch well. They need to be healthy. And, of course, you need to see Smoke continuing to do what he's doing. He's had a decent start to the year, and he's also obviously very good defensively at first base. So I believe that wraps up our podcast for this week. I think we've covered everything we can since last Monday. Again, I was Bryson from Everything Blue Jays, and I was joined by Jacob from Blue Jays Nation. We hope to have Mark back next week, and we also hope to have all three of us starting to record on more on a regular basis if Jacob can finally show up more, and I'm sure he will do his best. But again, that is the goal for us, and we hope to see you next week. And again, we hope to see Mark back next week. You know, you can find our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, you name it, wherever you can find your podcasts, please listen. We really enjoy doing this, and we really enjoy the feedback we get from you guys. Thank you for listening.